Marcy's only lived in the Big Fork area for a mere 30 years. And Gail's lived there her entire life.
Did you grow up here?
I did. Yeah, I'm a third generation on my property, so my...
So was your family loggers or what?
I've got certainly family members who log.
The
logging is probably what did get this town started virtually. There was a railroad line that came up here, and I think it was the Gut and Liver railroad line that came through here and from other areas too. I think a railroad came down from International Falls. But logging was the draw to this area, and a number of families did have large logging operations here. We got some very familiar names in the logging industry. The Ryla family, the Dahlberg family, the Lovedahl families all did come to this area and started logging operations and employed many people, and the things are different now with the machinery versus the individual loggers. There was a logging camp, several of them in the area, where this time of year in the winter and the spring were populated with, I don't know how many loggers, but there was big bunk houses, and they would stay there until right about this time in March when the swamps got melted and they couldn't be out in the woods anymore. But logging certainly was the main reason that this town got started and continued for many, many years. Now that's a smaller part of our economy, still very important and going on.
Yeah.
We've had a sawmill in town. The Ryla family operated an actual sawmill, which still functions, producing lumber and boards and wood materials.
Yeah.
Daily, there's trucks going out and products being made here in town.
Hmm.
And, of course, it's a river town, so the river did offer transportation. Even there's pictures of our Indian chief who was a resident of the area, Chief Bustacoggin, and there are pictures of him paddling in his canoe down the river. And he would come to town to get supplies by paddling on the river.
Okay.
Or in the winter, probably a dog sled.
Yeah.
That's what you'd travel with. Anyway, so there is a lot of history with Native Americans nearby and having settlements and interactions between...
Positive interactions.
Positive interactions. Absolutely. Chief Bustacoggin was well known to a lot of the townspeople, and he would come into town and spend the night with people in town, so certainly there was a good relationship there with that. I don't know of any conflict.
Gail Blackmer, she spent her entire life in the Big Fork, Minnesota area. We are taking a closer look at Big Fork, Minnesota in this segment of Let's Visit.
And the roots run deep around here.
They do. They do. There really are a number of families like mine that are even further back. I'm a third generation. My grandfather came here in 1918, 19, I'm thinking. And he came here to trap. And he settled a little bit east of here. He didn't live in town. He lived out in Deer Lake, where I am now.
Where did he come from?
He came up here from Michigan. But then there also were a little bit further east of here, where we start getting a little closer to the Iron Range territory, is where my other set of grandparents came, and they were immigrants from Finland who came here with the promise of good farmland and mining, and of course the Finns were blackballed pretty quickly. And so that promise didn't come true. They had to go out and homestead and really dig up the rocky ground and find
a
way to live.
How come they were blackballed?
Finns have political leanings toward the communist factor, what was going on at that time.
Huh.
And because Finnish people originated things like co-ops and were very cohesive and had progressive socialist type of political views,
because they formed co-ops and they all helped each other.
That's and fascinating to me.
They were often blackballed. You know, some of that factual history you might even want to get from the Discovery Center over there in Chisholm, because they've got a lot of the history on how the Finns were blackballed, although a lot of them did certainly work in the mines. But all the ethnic groups did have their issues, and they stuck together because due to language, and so they could be discriminated against as a group pretty easily.
I've heard it that Big Fork, there's bodies dropped in the river. I've heard there's a seedy past to this area.
Well, what you're talking about is the history of the town of Craigville, which is a little bit north of here. You go north of Big Fork, 7 miles to the town of Effie, and then you travel a little bit further north there, which was, in fact, a logging center. And the stories you're referring to are a result of the fact that the town was in Coochiching County, not Itasca County. And so there was a line there that jurisdictions didn't cross. The sheriff from Coochiching County was based in International Falls, which is a long way away, and it was across. So the sheriff from Itasca County didn't have jurisdiction in Coochiching County, and so it was a
kind of Wild Westy over
exactly.
there.
Exactly, it was there. There was a brothel, and there was 27 saloons.
27.
Yeah. However, most of the buildings were maybe a 10x12 tar paper shack, but still, in all, you could fit 5-6 stools, bar stools, in there. And there were instances of probably nights when the rumors of slipping you a Mickey and ending up in the morning with your bankroll out of your pocket. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God.
Thanks to Gail Blackmer for shedding some light on the seedy stories I had heard about the Big Fork area. Turns out it wasn't Big Fork, it was Craigville, but very close to Big Fork. We're taking a closer look at Big Fork in this segment of Let's Visit. Let's Visit is Northern Community Radio's opportunity to dig a little deeper into one of the communities or regions in our listening area. I'm Katie Carter, your host, and Let's Visit is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.